So with that, we'll move to agenda item six, which is our program. Agenda item 6.1 is report and possible discussion on the report from the Texas Water Development Board staff. Ms. Jean Devlin with Texas Water Development Board will give that report.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you. Hopefully you'll be able to see my presentation. All right, can everyone see this?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Wonderful. Okay, so I only have one slide, but this is going to be a bit of a lengthy presentation for you all this morning. We have a lot to cover, so I'll just dive right on in. And the first thing that I wanted to discuss were amendments to our rules. The Water Development Board adopted amendments to rules on May 10th, and you can currently view those adopted rules on our website. I provided the link there. We're also updating the Regional Water Planning Rules pamphlet and public notification quick reference documents. The key changes that were made within these rules that directly apply to the regional water planning groups were Chapter 355, which is related to regional water planning grants. This is the requirement to submit multiple applications for funding during a single planning cycle, and that's been removed. And there's a new eligible expense that was included to allow for limited reimbursement for political subdivision personnel costs. This expense is limited by the Water Development Board contract expense budget. And then the second major change was in Chapter 357.21. And this is in regards to the regional water planning notice and public participation. The minimum public notice requirement for regular committee meetings is increased from 3 to 7 days. The minimum time frames are added for the posting of meeting materials, depending upon the action taken. And the minimum public notice for adoption of the final regional water plans is changed from 3 to 14 days. The state federal agency comment period on the initially prepared plans was revised from 90 days to 60 days in order to align with the 60-day public comment period. And the Water Development Board's 120-day comment period is not revised by the rule revision, so that will remain the same. The 30-day public notice associated with submitting an application for funding of regional water plan development was removed. So those are the major amendments that we adopted recently. For our next item of discussion, pre-planning interregional coordination. So we sent out guidance on the pre-planning interregional coordination, and that was sent out in May. And earlier this week, we also sent out another update regarding coordination of water management strategy data. So I just wanted to go over some of these things because I know during your next meeting, you'll be coordinating on this. So for the guidance for pre-planning meetings, at a minimum during the pre-planning meeting, your planning group will need to include a deliberate discussion on how the planning group will conduct interregional coordination and collaboration regarding water management strategies during the development of the 2026 regional water plans. And we provided an email that has two different spreadsheets that can help with this process. So the first one includes data descriptions and summary of supply data, detailed supply data for recommended water management strategies for more than one region. And then the second spreadsheet includes data description, detailed supply data for all alternative water management strategies, alternative projects related to alternative strategies and the relationship between all of these projects. So this is a tool that you can use during your planning process. We also have some optional things that you can include to help facilitate interregional coordination at the pre-planning meeting. So some of these things include identifying water management strategies that would develop or use a water resource in another region or may otherwise impact another region. Any from the strategies that were listed in the email that was provided to you, your planning group can determine which identified strategies may create opportunities for interregional coordination. And then you may begin discussing a course of action for the coordination with the other regions. So we included some example agenda items that you might be able to include just to provide some structure for the pre-planning meeting. Examples include receiving public input and comments on issues that should be addressed or provisions that should be included in the 2026 Regional Water Plan and 2027 State Water Plan, discussing the potential process for conducting interregional coordination regarding water management strategies during the development of the 2026 Regional Water Plans, consideration of the identification of water management strategies, which may create opportunities for collaboration and cooperation with other planning regions, considering a course of action for interregional coordination with other regional water planning groups. So these are just some ideas of example agenda items that you can include for your pre-planning meeting. Again, you receive these all in an email, so you have all of this language available to you. And if you have any questions as you're going through that, please feel free to reach out to me and I will give you guidance on how to move forward with that. Okay. I'm going to pause here and ask if anyone has any questions over that before I move to my next agenda item.
Anybody have any questions? I don't see any, Jean.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to pause. I know that was a lot of information. Okay, I have two more things to discuss. So we set out a preliminary input request of the state water planning guidance principles. So you should have received a letter that's dated May 20th. And so we have some proposed revisions to our TAC rules, and we were requesting any additional input on that. That can be sent to regionalwaterplanning@twdb.texas.gov. So the deadline to submit any of your additional suggested revisions is July 5th. In the letter that you received, it had a number of different topics that you could consider preliminary issues for. So please feel free to reference that. And if you have any questions on it, again, please feel free to reach out to me. And the last update that I wanted to provide is on the 87th legislature passed bills that directly affected regional water planning. So throughout the legislative process, we were tracking a number of bills, and these three specific bills impact all regional water planning groups. If you are looking for more specific guidance that would only impact Region G, you might need to do a little more digging on any district level bills, but I did want to cover these three today. So they include House Bill 1905, Senate Bill 669, and House Bill 2225. So House Bill 1905 is related to relieving regional water planning groups of certain duties. It relieves the regional water planning groups from assessing financial needs to implement water management strategies of projects, and removes the requirement to submit an infrastructure financing report to the Water Development Board for use in the state water plan. The bill also relieves SWIFT program applicants from submitting an infrastructure financing survey with an application for financial assistance, and relieves the regional water planning groups from prioritizing projects within the regional water plans, and eliminates the need for the Uniform Standards Stakeholder Committee related to the prioritization process. This bill and also all the bills listed here go into effect on September 1st. And we anticipate conducting a rulemaking later on this year to implement this legislation. For Senate Bill 669, this is related to certain reports created by the Water Development Board. Senate Bill 669 eliminated the biennial water use report to the legislature, instead requiring the agency to make publicly available water use report information for certain municipalities and water utilities. The water use information required by this bill is already publicly available on the Water Development Board's Water Use Survey website. The bill also eliminated coordination and a reporting requirement with TCEQ and the TSSWCB related to the repair and maintenance of certain dams. So we are anticipating developing dashboards of this information that was previously provided by the report, and we'll distribute this information to regional water planning groups whenever it becomes available. And the last bill, House Bill 2225, is relating to the powers and duties of the Parks and Wildlife Department regarding the Texas Water Trust. So House Bill 2225 authorizes Texas Parks and Wildlife to encourage the facilitation, to encourage and facilitate the dedication of water rights in the Texas Water Trust through lease, donation, purchase, and other voluntary means of transfer for environmental needs. This also gives the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department the authority to manage water rights in the Water Trust under an agreement with the water right holder and define the way that they may do so. The new law does not authorize Parks and Wildlife to exercise any authority related to the Water Trust expressly granted to the Water Development Board or the TCEQ, and it does not change the Water Development Board's responsibilities with the Water Trust. Regional water plans are required to consider the voluntary transfer of water within regions using, but not limited to, tools such as regional water banks. So this would be something that you would be considering during your planning process. And that concludes my presentation. Does anyone have any questions over the preliminary input request or legislative passed bills?
Any questions for Jean on anything?
Anything at all?
Don't see any on Teams, do you? Okay, I'm not seeing any. So thank you, Jean, for that presentation.